today on Real Life Radio.
But listen, Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring me your burdens. Bring me those things that hurt you. And what does he say? I'll take those away from you. Oh man, you want therapy? One word, Jesus.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. So before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about our current featured resource. It's a book called 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Dr. Ed Heinsohn. It really digs into events that are happening right now and how they relate to biblical prophecy. So if you'd like to broaden your understanding of Bible prophecy, pick up our featured book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World by Dr. Ed Heinsohn, for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, How Jesus Builds a Church, Part 2. You know, our series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 14, we'll consider how Jesus changes course right in the middle of his ministry. You see, the time had come for Jesus to announce the true gospel message of his suffering, his death, and resurrection. But the crowd following Jesus, they were swayed by their emotions. Many thought the time had come when Jesus would deliver Israel from Roman tyranny. Only some of them would step out and become true disciples. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a changed life affects us personally when we follow Jesus with all of our hearts. It affects us corporately as we share the gospel message to those all around us, and it affects the world as we join with others in sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Now, with his message called How Jesus Builds a Church, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Anyway, I mean, I do believe in God. I've actually done this, what I'm telling you. I've done this. I'm a Christian. I'm curious. You don't believe in him, right? No, I don't believe in him. You guys, this is awesome. Ask them, why? You know what I have heard by far most often? Because the church is full of hypocrites. Dude, I believe, I agree with you. You know what people say? I don't believe in God because, and there's a big hurt in their life. Listen, who doesn't have a hurt? Oh, but my hurt's bigger than your hurt. My hurt's bigger, right? All of our hurts hurt the most. That's what makes it ours. That's mine. But listen, Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring me your burdens. Bring me those things that hurt you. And what does he say? I'll take those away from you. Oh, man, you want therapy? One word, Jesus. He's over the top. He's awesome. He's absolutely glorious. And he tells us the truth about our lives and about what we need to hear from him. It's very powerful. Now listen, he tells us the truth. Listen to what he says about logic and reason. How does this fit? In Matthew 19:28, Jesus says, and everyone who has left his house, his brother, his sister, his father, his mother, or his wife, or child, or country, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold in this life, and in the life to come, eternal life. What is he saying? When Jesus said earlier last week that you need to hate these others, and remember what that means, that your love for them wanes in comparison to your love for God. When Jesus says, if you're going to be a disciple, you've got to be willing to leave all to come and follow me. For those of you who are disgruntled in your marriages, it doesn't mean, look, I got to be a disciple and I have to leave. What did it say? House, children, wife, and husband. That's not what it means, you crazy person, you. That's not what it means. He's saying, listen, if I bid you to go to Detroit, go to Detroit. If I bid you to go to Bangkok, go to Bangkok. He says, if I tell you to go to Albertsons and share the good news, a disciple says, yes, Lord. Listen, I mean, we've all gone through the no Lord stuff. And I think I'm going to learn, but I don't, because I'm sure tomorrow he'll say, do this. I'm going to say, no, Lord. And then it may take a minute. It could take an hour. It could take a day. He always gets his way. And you wind up caving in, because Father knows best in everything. Logic and reason. Secondly, under this point, Jesus tells us the truth. That's how he builds his church. He does this, and the truth is that we are to be yielding and surrendered, and that's the key to our spiritual growth, to be yielding and surrendered. You guys, it's the opposite of the way the world works. The world says, grab all the gusto you can. The world says, look out for number one. The world says, climb that ladder and kick everybody off on the way up. That's how the world works. In fact, Jesus put it this way. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, that is, you give it to him, he says, you'll find it. Happy is the person who discovers that truth. Huh? You think, I think, controlling everything is the way it ought to be? Dude, you're just getting an ulcer. You're going to die young. But it's hard to believe. It takes a lot of faith to believe that Jesus says, let it go. Give it to me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast, the word in Greek is heave, not vomit, but throw it. Throw all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. I like to put it this way. Heave all of your concerns upon him because he carries it for you. And when you're not looking, he'll throw it away. Because you and I worry 99% of the time over stuff that has no bearing on our lives. He says right there in verse 32, or else while the other is still a great way off, the other army of 20,000 is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. Jesus is saying, listen, count the cost. And if you don't think that you can, listen, if you don't think that you can win this thing, then you ask for conditions of peace. Hey, that's a smart thing to do in war. It's a smart thing to do in politics. It's a smart thing to do in business. And it's a great thing to do. It's an essential thing to do in your relationship with God. That is this. Church, listen carefully. If I'm going to be a disciple, one of the biggest things that keeps you and I from following Jesus is an overriding sense of failure. What if I fail at it? Jesus is saying to us this. Forget about that. Remove that from the table. It's all of him. He does it. You guys, let me be the first to tell you, we do not achieve whatever we do achieve for the kingdom of God by any skills or talents of our own. God will not share his glory with anybody else. How do things get done in the kingdom of God? Woe unto the man who, da-da-da, I can do it. Let me do it. I can do it. We don't want that kind of people around. Why? Because if you're doing it, then you're the one doing it. And that's not going to work. But for the rest of us who come to God and say, God, I'm going to send a delegation, conditions of peace. What is it, Jack? I can't do this. I can't be a pastor. I can't love people like you want me to love them. I can't do this stuff. And then you might say, well, gosh, Jack, that's me. I want to help in the children's ministry, but I'm afraid of failing. You can't do it. I can't do it, but God does it through us. That's the amazing trick, blessing, gift of Christianity. Once you're saved, God says, let's go. Now look, if you're on the cross, or if somebody's got a sword to your neck and they're going to cut your head off, accept Jesus. Now, you'll never have a chance to become a disciple. But if you and I are living for him right now and able, maybe he gives us the next 10 years or the next 10 weeks, and we have the chance to go and affect the world for Christ, then listen, get up and go follow him. Trust him completely, because you know what? Through him, you can overcome anything. And the thing is this, that when you follow him, God will open up doors that at the end of the day, your mouth will be hanging open. Because you know what? God is not into spectator Christianity. At the end of the day, your job will be hanging open saying, God, this has been an awesome day. Is your Christianity boring? You're doing it wrong. You follow him, and I'll tell you, your heart will spin. I don't get people. If you know me, if you know my family, some of you, we've played together, gone to Disneyland together. It is true I'm a coward of rides. I don't like rides. That's why God made airplanes. If God put wings on an airplane, make perfect sense to me, but you are not going to strap me on a roller coaster. That's tempting the Lord thy God, in my opinion. I don't need that kind of rush. Oh, come on, man, it's really cool. Your stomach's like this and your hair. Oh, come on, let's do it. I don't need it. I'm a Christian. What do you mean by that? Dude, follow me. Let's walk with Jesus. And your stomach's going to go like this. And your hair's going to go like this. Why? Because you know what? He's anything but boring. Too many people are doing their Christianese thing, talking Christianese, and all the little stuff. They got the little deal, but there's no one's being affected in the world that they live in. And Jesus says to the vast majority in the crowd, he says, if you come, Count the cost, but let's go. We've got things to do. It's very, very powerful. Point number four, and it's this. We'll end on point four. It's verses 33 to 35. How Jesus Christ builds a church. It's this, by requiring effectiveness. What will be the evidence that I'm a true disciple, follower, mimicker of the Lord Jesus? Wow. One of the things is what's called the fruit of the Spirit. In your Bibles, in Galatians 5:22, the word Spirit is capital S. Whenever you come to the capital S on Spirit in your Bible, it is the Holy Spirit, okay? Lowercase s means it's a human spirit or a demonic spirit or an angel spirit, anything but God. Capital S, it comes out of the Greek, it's deity, it's Christ, it's God, all right? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Stop right there. Who in this world would not want to have in their life an awesome, powerful, heavenly-given love? Who would not want that? I want that. And then joy. You know what's so cool about joy? Joy flies above the circumstances. Another word for circumstance is happenstance. You ever heard that old English word? What's happening? Hey, what's happening? That means what's going on here and now? Why is that important? Because I'm affected by what's happening here and now. A lot of people live their lives like that. They're affected by the immediate. They don't have any joy because their joy, it's not over the situations. You guys, 6 weeks ago, we had a high schooler accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, so what? A lot of high schoolers accept the Lord Jesus in our high school ministry. Yeah, praise the Lord for that, huh? But this one's special. You mean he's special? What makes him special? This is what makes him special. 6 weeks ago, he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. And this last week, he was horrifically killed on the freeway when a car struck his vehicle. He was outside of his broken down vehicle. A car struck him and was killed terribly. Now listen, you say, what's so special? I tell you what's special. This kid came to faith in Jesus Christ, and 6 weeks later, he went home to see his Jesus. And I got to tell you something. The awesome thing about that is the fact that he got his Bible, he's reading his Bible, and though he didn't have much time, his life in the service this week to come will make an effect. He didn't have much time to follow Jesus, but there'll be a service held and his life affected others. You have to ask yourself as a Christian, do I have that kind of joy, that kind of love in my life, that kind of peace? This word peace in Galatians 5:22 is a peace like we would sing in a song that still waters, you know, run deep. It's a peace that runs very deep. A peace that passes human understanding is what the word means. Long suffering, that's the word being able to put up with. I need that. I'm not all that good with that. I see things going on. I don't like it. I go crazy. Long suffering. You see the crazy direction this world's going, and I just want to, like, you know, I want to go be with the Lord, you know. Kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, the Bible says, there's no law. So there's no what? There's no law. Ten Commandments? You don't need them. If you're walking under the power of the Holy Spirit, these things of the Spirit will be lived out in your life. You don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments. By the way, everybody wants to get rid of the Ten Commandments. Why? Because they keep looking at everybody. The Ten Commandments, they just... And it says, have no other God before me. I don't want that. I don't want that. Listen, when you love God and the Spirit of God is at work in your life, man, don't worry about the law. And then listen... Required effectiveness is this: a changed life affects me personally. He says, so likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So it affects me personally. Jesus is not saying that you can't follow him. He's saying, if you're going to come and follow me, I need to be number one in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. He's God. He's earned it by coming to earth for us. Also this, corporately, verses 34 to 35, by requiring effectiveness, a changed life affects us corporately. Others are affected. Look at verse 34 and 35. He says, salt is good, But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill or manure heap. But men throw it out. This is an amazing thing. You guys remember, do you remember what Luke's occupation was, the author of this? He's a doctor, medical doctor. This is kind of cool. Why? Because salt was not only used to season your food, it was not only used by the family or by the meat industry to pack it with salt to keep it from rotting, but as a physician, you use salt to sterilize your equipment and to impact salt in a wound to sterilize or to keep from infection the salt. Here's the amazing thing about sodium chloride. In and of itself, of its own nature, it never loses its strength. When Luke heard this, I mean, his yarmulke had to kind of go off. Whoa! Jesus just said that if salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. That doesn't happen unless you mix with the salt something from the outside. You have to dilute salt. You have to ruin salt intentionally. Salt is salt for thousands of years. It doesn't change unless it's watered down, unless it's somehow diluted, unless foreign substances come in and begin to affect it. Jesus is saying, listen, salt does a job. But an interesting thing, interesting twist. He says, but if it loses its power, it's good for nothing. Listen, I can declare that I'm a Christian, and I can be a Christian. I can believe in Jesus and live my whole life being a spectator to the things of God. Will you go to heaven? Yes. But you know what? You missed out on an awful lot. And it's not worth it, you guys. Jesus is saying, come.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
How many of you ever owned a new car? That's one of the biggest things. Raise your hand. You know, you're an incredible majority for others in the world. You owned a new car. You ever smell the smell of a new car? I don't know why they don't make cologne out of that stuff. New car. What do you do when you get a new car? You park a mile out in the parking lot, away from the store, sideways, so nobody gets near it. Right? Last service, there was a guy here, I know him, he bought a car from Jerry Seinfeld, a Porsche or a Ferrari, I don't remember which one it was. And I got to sit in it, and I'm thinking to myself, because I'm not very bright, I'm thinking to myself, wow, these pants sat in a Jerry Seinfeld car. I'll never change my pants again. What do you do with a car like that? Ooh, we've all been like that. Look at my new car. And you don't pull up into the parking lot at Walmart and push carts out of the way with it. No, you're parked way out there. You parked by Nordstrom's and then walked to Walmart. But then after it gets its first scratch, what do you do? Oh, now the idol. I mean, it's not even an idol anymore. It's dented. It's no good. It's a broken idol. Who needs it? And then you're get out of the way. You're pushing cars and you park, in that little narrow spot. Why? Because you know what? It loses its luster. Things of the world will always lose its luster. It will always lose its zing, you know? And the important thing about that is that when we consider the fact that we can be so easily polluted by things, now you see that my life can be distracted by someone in my life. You see, but shouldn't you love them? Of course I should love them. But it's a fine line from loving them rightly and making them an idol. When God says, you love me most of all and without challenge. And so we end here. His change, a changed life that you and I should have, affects the world that you and I live in completely. It affects the world that we live in. Jesus said something, this is amazing. Verse 35, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. 16 times that's spoken in the Bible, in the New Testament, 16 times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's a tremendous invitation. Out of the 16 times used in the Bible, Jesus uses it 8 times. 7 of those times is when Jesus says it to the letters to the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, everybody, listen. He's saying, can you hear me? If you can hear me, then respond. Have you ever looked to somebody in a coma? Have you ever been to their bed? They look normal. Can you hear me? Squeeze my finger. They look normal. They look like they should get up. Jesus is saying, can you hear me? If you can hear me, follow me. A lot of people are listening, but very few people are hearing. And so he announces, if you have ears to hear, will you hear what I'm saying? A vast crowd of people, Jesus puts out the plea, and I wonder how many people said, I'm coming. And I want to leave you with this illustration about the invitation Jesus gives. Some years ago on one of our mission trips, we were in London, England with our mission teams. And you guys know, many of you have been on trips with us. We're very committed to those things, very serious. And so with teams all ready to go, trained up, we hit the streets. And Brian comes during one of our outreaches and he says, hey, listen, we can get tickets tonight for Les Miserables right here in London. And I'm thinking, like, who? We're here for a missions outreach. And he says, yeah, let's take the entire team. And I had a hard time with that. I'm thinking, man, I mean, we've come here for his church to help him, but he's inviting the team to go to see Les Miserables. You guys all know what I'm talking about? The musical play? If you've never seen it, you got to see it. Especially if you've not seen the play or the musical, make sure you rent the movie that has Liam Neeson in it. Forget all the other ones. But Liam Neeson does a great job in the video, but if you see the musical, you'll flip. I'd never seen it before. Well, Brian won out, and we all went, the whole team went one night. We went to downtown London, awesome. Limousines, all this stuff, big deal. I mean, not our lip, we had our feet. There were limousines dropping people off. It was a big deal. We get in there, and the whole team, we're sitting there, and you guys, Les Miserables is French for the miserable or the wretched. The wretched, the miserable. Written by Victor Hugo, 1862, I think it was, something like that. The miserable, the wretched. By the way, when it came out in 1860, whatever, 45,000 people stood in line to get the transcript, the writings, the book. Poor people banded their money together because it was a message of hope to them. They banded together, got their money, and they would read it. One person would read it in front of hundreds of poor people because they couldn't afford it on their own. It was a massive thing. Watch this. The play happened. The musical was going on. And if you know the story, it's amazing. Jean Valjean is plagued by the law. It's constantly pursuing him. Every time he wants to do something right, he fails at it. He wants to do good. He miserably makes a mistake, and the law is pounding him and convicting him. He goes to prison, he gets out, he winds up messing up again. He wants to do good, he fails every time. Does that sound familiar in your life and mine? And then he comes and he's liberated, he's set free by a Monsignor in the play, shows him grace, love and mercy. He's set free, his life's completely changed. Great story of redemption, Les Miserables. My point is this. When Jesus said, be my disciple, come and follow me. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And behold, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Remember that? That's a command. Now watch this. At the end of the move, at the end of the play, I was shocked. The theater went dark, then the lights came back up. And standing on the stage, joined arm in arm, was the cast of the production. And Jean Valjean was in the middle. And this is what he said. To you, Les Miserables, if you can hear the message of this story, it's the Christ that can set you free. Join us as we tell the world. Victor Hugo had instructed that when it's performed, that should be played, that should be the ending. And they did that in London. Come and join us, you miserable. You wretched, you poor, you hurting, come and we'll tell the world. That's the life of a Christian who says, Jesus, you've been so good to me, I can't take it anymore. I give you my life. I follow you.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How Jesus Builds a Church, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, when Pastor Jack was asking how confident you are in your salvation, were you able to give an answer? Do you really know without a doubt what it means to be saved? If you still have some questions regarding salvation, we can help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the tab there labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab. And when you do, you'll find out what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and you're not listening by accident. The Lord wants you to know who you are in Him so you can trust Him to lead you on the right path and rely on Him in all that you do. And be sure to let us know about your decision for Christ. We'd love to hear it. And if you have any questions or concerns, give us a call, 877-777-2346. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or on the Real Life app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.